You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today, I really didn't have enough time to prepare to any extent on any of the news, breaking news stories. That doesn't mean I'm not going to do a show, because there is a news story that is breaking as I speak, and it's been breaking all day, and that has to do with Benghazi, which I will be covering, because there is some new news, namely declassified information has come out of one of the committees in Congress that has been investigating Benghazi. Apparently, I'm reading between the lines, it was leaked to the press, and it's the testimony of General Hamm that had the military, he's a Lieutenant General Hamm, four-star general, responsible for not only Benghazi, but the whole area. So I'm going to go into that. But before I do, I want to alert some of my loyal listeners that I am a little bit behind in the post-production. Today, what I was doing was writing a opinion piece responding to an editorial that the Richland Chronicle paper, which is out today, published, and it's the cover story. And I want to alert students, because most of my listeners are either students at Richland College or the faculty or staff, that we are looking for volunteers for a number of positions, including staff writer, which I am. Or so if you're a writer and like to write either straight news articles or opinion pieces, or maybe even have a column, if you can do it every week, we're welcome new writers. We're always looking for writers because they provide the content, or most of the content, for the paper. We also need illustrators, people that can illustrate stories, as well as photographers. You know, for example, the story I was writing, like I said, my reaction to an editorial that the Richland Chronicle ran in its first issue. I hope my article or opinion piece gets in the next issue. But we need people. For example, while I was writing the piece, I said, you know, it would be terrific to have a photograph to illustrate the point I'm making in the paper, which concerns one angle to the story, was the fact that on Richland College campus, we have literally dozens of surveillance cameras, both covert cameras, those domes that you will see throughout the campus. Usually when you walk into a building, there is at least one or more dome cameras, and that's fairly standard. I used to sell surveillance cameras as well as those magnetic doors, and you usually place these surveillance cameras on the outside and the inside of a building. And Richland College campus, if you park your car in the parking lot, as you walk towards the buildings, and if you look up at the corner, you will see these surveillance cameras. Those are fairly expensive cameras that are covering the parking lot. They're the pan, tilt, and scan, PTS. It's been a while since I sold them. But these cameras are a little bit more expensive because they can be operated by a police officer monitoring the parking lots. And they can set it as they can do a control where they'll go first wide angle distance, if you will, then bring it into medium, and then if they need to, they can actually focus it in if there's any suspicious activity. Namely, let's say someone's trying to break into a car and an officer looking at the screen can see it. What he can do is call another officer that's on patrol and check it out. So as you're walking into the college campus, the first cameras you're going to see are those cameras on the top of the building. For example, I typically park in Sabine. I'm not parking there right now, but usually I'll either park in Sabine or Thunderduck, but they're noticeable on Sabine. If you look up at the very near the top of the building, you'll see those dome cameras. And the reason they're there is not so much to protect the building, it's to see what's happening on the parking. We have very huge parking lots, so you need those type of cameras really to assist the police officers or the campus police to spot any activity that seems unusual. And we have in the past had, I don't think we've had it recently, but in the past, and I've been going on and off to Richland campus for about a dozen years, we've had rashes. It's sort of like a crime wave where people were stealing vehicles, mainly these pickup trucks. So since we've put on these cameras, I'm sure that the incidences of people trying to steal vehicles have gone down. Now, you know, thieves are not necessarily smart. The smart thieves will know that the campus has the cameras and probably will leave them alone. And that's one of the really benefits of having a good surveillance camera system is to deter crime. And I'm sure they've deterred crime because if I'm not an auto thief, obviously, but if I were, I would not. The first thing I would check out, I would case this campus and look for the cameras. And some of the cameras are overt. In other words, you know they're there. You know, for example, I go to a local Kroger store, and again, it's been several years since they've installed them. At one time, most of your retail stores, as well as this campus, did not have surveillance cameras. But most of your retail stores today, if you look up, you'll see these domes. They're kind of smoke glass, and Kroger, for example, has them on every aisle, and they show you, they have a camera actually on one of the aisles to alert you to the fact that you are being recorded. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily someone's looking at it. Usually, if it's a very large retail store, they're going to have some theft. Someone is assigned to stop shoplifters, so these surveillance cameras can be used for that, but they also can be used if a crime is committed, they can go back and look at the tape to see what actually happened. So they have them at the checkout, and they also have them on the aisles to prevent theft. So they also have them on the outside of the buildings. So if anything should happen in the parking lot, so let's say someone is trying to steal a pocketbook or, you know, steal a car, there will be some video record of it. So smart crooks, and not all crooks, most crooks aren't smart, will avoid buildings, whether it's a retail store or a college campus, that have these surveillance cameras installed. But not only do you have overt cameras that you're acutely aware of it, I used to sell these. You can also buy, if you have the money or the budget, you can buy covert cameras. They can be hidden in, for example, in clocks, thermostats, or smoke detectors. We have, if you've ever been on the Richland College campus, you'll see these cones all over the place in every building. Well, I'm sure that not all the cones, most of those cones are definitely smoke detectors, but some of them are also equipped with cameras. So they're somewhat covert because you would not think they're a camera. A matter of fact, I've had people tell me, no, you're wrong, Raymond, these are just smoke detectors. I said, well, some of them are, but you'll notice these smoke detectors typically are placed where you would want to have a surveillance camera. For example, if you get on and off an elevator, guess what? There's usually a cone right above your head. And the reason why, that camera is focused right on the person getting off the elevator, so they can track you as you walk through the campus. And usually what happens, all these cameras are connected through, they have wires that are in conduits. That's a fancy way to say aluminum tubing, and they go back to where there's a recorder, a video recorder, a DVD. It's a hard drive. It's somewhat a little more fancier than that. But what it does is it records for all these cameras. It's recording what's happening. And usually what happens after a couple, it depends on how many cameras you have and how large the hard drive is, they will overwrite. They typically 24 hours, 48 hours, some will have even as long as 72 hours. Again, it's a function of how large their hard drive is, what your budget is, and it's doing this for all the cameras. So if they ever need to go back and look at the video, it's available. But it's after a certain amount of time, it's going to be rewritten because you can't keep accumulating it. Even though the National Security Agency, they don't do that. They record everything, folks, and I'm not going to get on the NSA, but that's what the National Security Agency is doing with all your email, your videos, your photographs, your phone calls. They are actually storing all that content in a data center, Bluffdale in Utah. Well, the same principle applies, but on a much limited scale, to Richland College campus, as well as other buildings or other organizations that have installed these surveillance camera systems. And although the price is really have really dropped and the resolution has gotten much, much better, because sometimes the problem is if a poor resolution camera, you really can't identify the person. You know something's going on, but It's like watching TV. You can't identify a face. Well, these cameras have gotten much better. That's no longer the problem. That used to be a problem. But on good systems today, they can identify you. And what they do, it's why some of it's prevention. Like I said, if you notice the cameras, that does deter crime to the extent that the criminals are smart enough to know that they are definitely being recorded. And they are being recorded on this campus, but they're also being monitored. You have a police officer in a room looking at various images, and usually it depends on the size of the screen. It might have 16 different cameras, and it's going to rotate, and they can zero in if there's a problem or a call-in. They can look at the specific, they can turn on or go to the camera that we're, let's say someone makes a phone call to the Richland College police that we're having a problem in the cafeteria. Well, they have a camera. I know for sure they have a camera right in the corner where it's looking at the cafeteria area. So the police officer can monitor it and see what's going on. So it's a very good safety measure as well as crime prevention measure, and it helps keep the campus safe. Now, what you got to understand is you're being watched. As you walk through this campus, you are being watched. Now, that doesn't mean it's 100%, because they literally have dozens and dozens of these cameras. So to the extent you only have one officer on duty, he can only really look at so many. He can't look at all several hundred of these images that he's seeing on the screen. He might be only looking at either 16 or 32 views, but he's going to rotate through it. And he has to also look at what's happening in the parking lots as well in the buildings. And there is software, however, to help or assist the police officer in terms of if some unusual behavior is happening, if there's a lot of people gathered, or a person is spending a lot of time at a vehicle trying to break in. Well, you do have software that can spot that and alert the officer. Now, that's not cheap. You got to buy it. And I'm not trying to clue you in what they're doing, but anyone has a set of eyes knows that at least he knows that the overt cameras are there and they're watching. They're not doing this. They didn't put those cameras in because they cost money, and it costs money to run the wiring to wherever that recorder is. And the recorder is usually in a very secure area and is monitored by one or more police officers to see what's happening. And what that police officer can do is dispatch other police officers if there's ever a problem. And we have an interesting story in the paper. The Richland Chronicle came out today. It's now on the newsstands about the lockdown drills that the police, campus police and emergency response teams were. They had an exercise. And because what you need to be aware of, you know, for example, the one situation I have run into, and I've been on campus where there's been a hurricane approaching the campus. And usually what you want to do there are certain areas in the campus, I'm sitting in one of them, they're underground. So you want to get away from, obviously you want to get away from any areas that have windows, because if we do have a hurricane or a tornado that hits the campus, the last thing you want to be doing is being in front of a window looking out. You really want to go to an area on campus to wait until the hurricane, and I keep saying hurricane, tornado passes. And I've been, I'd say, two or three occasions, sometimes at night, sometimes in the day, where that's happened. We're not the central part of it. We're on there. In the hurricane area, so occasionally there have been, I say over the last 10 years, at least when I've been on campus, three or four times when I had to seek out an area that's away from the glass. And you usually stay there until you get the all clear. Usually a police officer comes around or they announce it on the PA system. Well, that's one situation you can run into. Another situation you can run into is, let's say, and this has been a problem on college campuses, we are a gun-free zone, and the problem with a gun-free zone is people that do have licenses to carry a weapon cannot do it. Only police officers that work at Richland College are allowed to to carry weapons such as pistols. So even though you might carry, if you have a license to carry a handgun and would like to carry it on Richland College, you're forbidden to do that, pointing that out. And that poses a problem because gun-free zones, as far as I'm concerned, are probably the most dangerous places to be anywhere. Because what do you attract if it's a gun-free zone? You really attract the nuts, and I call them mental cases, because one of the common denominators of many, if not most, of these people that go in and kill people on schools as well as colleges have mental problems, and they're usually on medication. And usually what happens, either their medication has gone up or down, or they stop taking their medication, they have a mental break, if you will, and decide to go on campuses or go to a school and kill people. And usually what they're trying to do is commit suicide. See, guns aren't the problem. The problem is you do have people that have mental problems, and you do have people usually that do have mental problems that are taking drugs. And usually the common denominator, there are certain types of drugs that they take. And I'm not getting into that. This is somewhat of a detour. But as far as I'm concerned, if you really do the digging and look at these people on either in high schools, elementary schools, or in college campuses that went on campus and killed people, whether teachers or students, and a lot of times they kill themselves, it really is not surprising if you know the background. And we've had multiple instances of this. It's guns are not the problem. It is people with that are emotionally or mentally disturbed. Many of them are in treatment. Many of them are on prescribed drugs as a treatment for it. And what invariably happens, either they go off the medication or there's a change in medication and you have an episode. That was the word I was searching for. And the episode results in people that are in gun-free zones get killed. So every time you visit the college campus to attend a lecture or do a lab or engage in extracurricular activities, you always run the risk of some nut case getting on campus with a gun and shooting people. So what the campus police, as well as others, were doing last week was doing a drill, which they need to do because I'm concerned about that. And one thing that they do is lock people out of the buildings and put a little notice. The campus is in lockdown. I'm sure I think there was a story either today or yesterday, and it's somewhere in the United States that there was a lockdown. Sometimes it's an elementary school, sometimes it's a high school, sometimes it's a college. And that usually gets people's attention. And they tend to go in spurts. Have you ever noticed that? That you might have one that makes the national news, and then a couple of days later, a week later, there's another one. Now, I don't think we've had one in the local area. And I need to say something, because I was thinking about this last night. I went to public school, both elementary, junior high, high school, and I really racked my brains. I said, you know, when I went to school, and these are public schools, they're not private schools, and I went to several because my parents moved around. My father was in the military, in the army. We moved overseas. I went to school in Germany. I went to school in Taiwan and several states, primarily New York and New Jersey. For the life of me, I cannot remember one single place where we had a security guard. That's different today. In many schools, including elementary school, and I can see it a little bit more for high schools, but even there, you have metal detectors and you have guards. That's unheard of. Even on Richland College campus, I can remember when there were very, very few campus police, and there were no cameras and there were no magnetic doors that they can shut down the campus. Times have changed. Technology has changed, and the price of technology has changed. Obviously, as these cameras and these doors and the technology to record it become cheaper and cheaper, you do take advantage of the technology. But it is noticeable. And that's why I'm bringing this up. I can remember going to public school as well as college, and I went to colleges that did have campus police, but you really seldom noticed them. And it was really a number to call if something happened. You didn't have an extensively patrolled campus. And I've seen that change even at Richland College. There is a lot more campus police today than when I first, I think the first time I ever came to this campus was sometime in the mid-80s. I was taking one of these, I think it was kind of an introduction to computers. These were when personal computers were coming out. And this was an introductory course. And then I didn't come back for probably another 14, 15 years. And yeah, there was I can remember a few police officers, but there weren't that many. And the campus, I didn't really notice any patrols. Well, that's not the case today. Today, this campus has cameras all over the place. The police are always patrolling. Part of that is the fact that we do have a high school on the college campus that enables high school students, mainly juniors and seniors, to attend advanced placement courses, college courses, and get credit for it. So that requires a certain amount of additional police officer staff. And that's relatively new. And I don't know when it changed. I would say in the last 10 years, maybe 10, 15 years at most. And it's changing today as a result of, and the problem is not guns. The problem is mentally unstable people. And usually they're on prescribed drugs. And what they're really doing is trying to commit suicide, what's called suicide by cop, hoping that someone, a cop will, a police officer will respond and kill them. And sometimes they kill themselves because they're very much controlled and want to do it themselves. But other times they simply don't have the courage to follow out their convictions that they need to off themselves and are trying to provoke the police officer to kill them. And sometimes they get their wish. But I am broadcasting from a gun-free zone in the heart or in the bowels of Richland College campus. And as I leave the studio when the show's over, I notice these cone fire detectors several places, strategically located, and I'm sure I'm being captured by a video camera, and that image is gone to the Richland College police, and it's on a hard drive somewhere. Now, what you might ask they're going to do with it, and the answer is about 99% of the time, absolutely nothing. Because what happens is, and that's the way you prefer it to be. I don't really want an episode or an incident. And all they're going to do is overwrite it. It's automatic. But occasionally you do have an incident where a student is acting up. It could be a fight. A person can be engaged in suspicious behavior. Maybe he's trying to steal something out of the classrooms, like one of these projectors. Maybe there's drugs being sold. There are a lot of reasons that your behavior becomes suspicious. And what happens is, if you're on Richland College campus, the police might tap you on the shoulder and ask you for your student ID, which you are required to produce. So if you're a new student, I'm alerting you to the fact that we have an active and very efficient campus police, and they will enforce the law, both city and state, with one big exception. I'll mention it, but I'm not going to get into it. They do not enforce federal immigration law. So don't worry if you're an illegal alien, either working here or going to school, they won't ask you to prove that you're a U.S. citizen. I think the police should enforce all laws, including federal laws regarding immigration. And that's about the extent I'm going to say it. But I need to say it because I know there are illegal aliens working here that are so-called undocumented workers. No, they're criminal aliens. They've broken into the country. They've stayed in the country. They got documents that enable them to work in the country. And they're working on this campus. And guess what? It's being recorded on these videotapes. So if anyone says, prove it, I said, okay, go and look at the tapes. And why didn't you send a police officer to tap them on the shoulder and enforce the law? They don't. And I know they don't. and I've asked about it from some of the office. Well, we don't enforce federal law. That's not our responsibility. Oh, you enforce all the laws but the immigration law. And that's really what they're doing. That is really what they're doing. That's an aside, but important to note, that criminal activity is also recorded on these from these cameras. That's sort of a heads up to some of our administrators here that tacitly let this criminal activity continue. So alert to the students as well as staff. Smile, you're on candid camera. And for those that don't understand that, there used to be a show on television called Candid Camera. It was a very popular show. What they would do is they would ask, typically they would, there was a setup, they would ask people a question or get them to be engaged in some activity, and while they're doing whatever they're doing, they would be recording it for a television program. They wouldn't be aware of it, but they were being recorded, just like you are being recorded right now. And one of the new capabilities, and I'm looking right at it, I haven't taken advantage of it, I will probably in the fall. And probably late in the fall. Depends how my diet goes. I'm trying to lose weight, and I'm succeeding at it. I've lost several pounds, and the trend is going in the right direction. Down, which is the right direction. But in the fall, I'm going to have video of this show, just like Rush Limbaugh does. You know, if you subscribe to his Pay Some Money and want to listen to Rush Limbaugh any time of the day, rather than hear him on the radio or... You can't. I think you can. You can listen to them over the internet. I do that. But let's say you're working and can't really listen to them at work. Well, you can spend some money and not only listen to them, you can watch them. And ultimately, some of the students are already doing this. I know at least one that's doing a show where not only is he broadcasting it, the show is being recorded, and we have a camera, and I'm tilting my head up. I don't have it on, by the way. They've asked me whether I want it. No, I don't want it, but I understand how it works. And I could, and I will, probably in the fall, turn that camera on and post it. See, I have a channel on YouTube. It's called Raymond Pronk, www.raymondpronk.com. Raymond Pronk YouTube. Anyway, the channel's Raymond Pronk. And I have all my videos that, and I have over, several dozen. I have about 68 or so videos. I'm just ballparking that. However, they're all on art, primarily French Impressionism as well as Vermeer. So they're on YouTube. They're very popular, and they got a lot of hits for people that appreciate art. And I spent many, many, many hours scanning those images in and also using Premiere Pro to animate these photographs. If you ever seen these, what's his name, Burns, the Civil War, he's on public television a lot with shows where he uses old photographs and then either pans in slowly or pans out slowly. Well, I do this with my with various pieces of art, and primarily French Impressionist paintings as well as Vermeer and some of the artists that I like, Winslow Homer, for example. And I have all those posted on YouTube. And I'm sure the National Security Agency has copies of my YouTube posts. You see, Big Brother is collecting and storing all your communications. And I underline all your emails, all your phone calls, all your videos, anything you write, anything where you use the internet to communicate or the telephone lines. Guess what, folks? Big Brother is watching. Now, are they really watching? No, they're not really watching. But they're collecting it all and they're storing it. So you better be good, because if you ever become a target, and you do not want to be on the target list, but should you ever become a target, guess what they're going to do? They are going to be watching, and they are going to be listening, and they can go back and pull out all that information. And why would they do that? Because they want to first hunt you down, capture you, arrest you, try you, and throw you in jail. You see, we have the secret surveillance state is alive and well and is recording as I speak, including this show. It's recording it now live, and it's recording it when I post it on Podomatic. And I need to say this, if you want to listen to the show, the way you listen to the show is go to prompops.wordpress.com. And if you go there, you can listen to the show. And you just click on the link at the top. I have about the most recent 40 to 50 shows. And below that, I have a more comprehensive archive of all my shows. And I'm looking at the time. I have rather gone long on this story. I won't have time to cover the Benghazi situation. I'll do that in more depth tomorrow. But it is breaking, and the new development is the fact that the classified hearing of General Hamm, congressional hearing, parts of his testimony were leaked to the press. And what it's very, very clear is the chain of command, including, remember, he's a four-star general, a lieutenant general, army general responsible for this area, knew within 20 minutes or less that the diplomatic facility in Benghazi was being attacked. It was a terrorist attack. It was by an Al-Qaeda affiliated militia group. They knew it. So did the chief of staff and the secretary of defense, which were on before they left the Pentagon. They were aware of it, and they were driving to a late, I think it was a 5:30 meeting in the White House with the president. So don't believe the story that this attack was due to a YouTube video. It wasn't. And so we have some developments in the Benghazi story, which I'll get into tomorrow, as well as the fact that the New York Times published an article not a week or two ago. I forget the date. And it was a rather lengthy article that really was they're setting up Hillary Clinton to be the next candidate for the Democratic Party for president, because they're going with the original story, and this is laughable, that it was really a YouTube video that resulted in this attack, when the YouTube video had absolutely nothing to do with it, absolutely nothing. But the Secretary of State, the UN Ambassador Susan Rice, the Press Secretary Jay Carney, as well as the President of the United States, for over 2 weeks, they stuck to this ridiculous cover story that it was the YouTube video that incited believers in Islam to demonstrate and protest in front of the diplomatic facility, and it got out of hand, and then the facility was attacked. Well, that was the story, and that was a fairy tale. That was a myth, and they knew it within literally less than half an hour, really within the first 15 to 20 minutes. Both the State Department, Terrorist Center, you have an alert, a flash alert goes out, both to the State Department, the Central Intelligence Agency, because it was really a Central Intelligence Agency, CIA operation, as well as the military, that the diplomatic facility is under attack. And by who? They knew who it was. It was a local militia group, extremists, fanatics, related to Al-Qaeda, that attacked this facility. So Benghazi is back in the news, and it should be back in the news, because there are literally dozens, if not hundreds, of unanswered questions. And as I alluded to in yesterday's show, there were approximately 36 central intelligence agencies, the CIA, either employees or contractors, about a mile away from where this facility was attacked, that were engaged in a CIA operation, a covert operation, a clandestine operation, as a result of a presidential finding. So I'm going to get into that on our next show in a little bit more detail, develop it, because I really think this is a big scandal. Forget about this traffic jam of Christie's, Governor Christie's in New Jersey, that was in the news. And to give you how the media had a frenzy over that, there have been statistics as the three major networks supposedly covered that traffic jam, this so-called scandal in New Jersey. They call it a Bridgegate. I think the total time was over 37 minutes. Remember, most news stories can be as short as 15 or 30 seconds. Compare that with less than 3 minutes
they cover the IRS scandal that the president is involved in. You can do you notice just a tiny bit of media bias? Because what is the media trying to do? They're trying to kill the candidacy of Christie, because he's been touted and I think is interested and probably will run, depending on how this turns out for the presidency or the nomination for the Republican Party. Now, I'll tell you something. I'm not a Republican or Democrat, but I am a conservative. I am a libertarian. Most libertarians and conservatives do not want Christie as the candidate. But the Democrats think we want him. We don't want him at all. And I don't think Christie will ever get the nomination. Not because of this. It's because the Republican base, and specifically the Tea Party members, the conservatives and the libertarians, we know what Christie is. He's a leftist center, progressive, or big interventionist government status. We don't want him as our candidate, or the Republicans don't want him. The actual base, not the establishment leadership, but the base. But I'm glad that that story is gradually getting out, and we're getting back to some real scandals where people were killed, including Benghazi, hopefully Fast and Furious. They'll get back in the news, and they need to. You have been listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Now, back to the music.